Good evening. Welcome to another exciting session, training in ever-increasing word training center. Tonight, we're going to look into chapter number 13, which bespeaks of the times of refreshing, which is the third stage of apostolic and prophetic revival. So let us begin.
The third stage
of the end time revival
is called the times of refreshing.
The times of revelation is the early rain
that comes upon the soil
to soften the ground
for plowing.
Now, I want to mention this. The soil actually represents your soul, your mind, your thought life. You listening? We have hard souls that can only be changed and infiltrated by the word of God. That's why the most important thing to a born-again believer is not the training of his spirit, but actually the renewing of his soul. You listening? Because in the new birth, the soul is complete and sealed unto our day of redemption with the Holy Spirit. Go ahead, daughter.
The times of repentance
is the breaking up of fallow ground
that has been lying idle,
in order that the full potential
of the ground
might be brought forth.
The times of refreshing
is the latter rain
that comes to
notice that phrase, to mature or to perfect the grains.
It quickens the process of maturity
by quickening the grains for harvest.
Understanding the times of refreshing.
One of the major rewards
of a repentant life
is that the times of refreshing will come
and it will be sent
from the presence of God.
Number one,
the times of refreshing
is a time of seeing
the manifested presence
of God
breaking forth, watch this, upon our lives,
watch this,
on a daily basis.
That's your daily bread.
Give us this day our daily bread.
There's nothing like his presence, though he's omnipresent.
Everywhere, all at the same time,
we need his manifested presence.
That you can feel his hand on you.
Go ahead, daughter.
The consciousness of God's presence
becomes a reality
in us and to us and through us.
We are conscious
that God is not only around us,
but that most importantly, God is what?
In us. 1 John 4:4
declares, greater is he that is in you
than he that is in the world.
See, the Holy Spirit lives in us.
Therefore, God lives in us.
Therefore, the Lord Jesus lives in us.
Because when you have one,
you listening? Yes,
you have the fullness of the Godhead.
You listening?
All three equal in power.
Thank you for your enthusiasm.
There's so much in the scriptures written about them,
you don't know who doing what.
Because they're not in competition.
You listening?
They function as one,
not three gods, one.
One God manifested in three separate and distinct personalities.
You listening?
From Genesis to the Revelation.
Go ahead, daughter.
When we can discern
these two types of God's consciousness,
we can learn to find appropriate ways
to respond and to relate to God as our Father.
The manifested presence of God
permeates throughout our souls
and throughout our bodies
with the consciousness of God.
What consciousness?
God is in me.
Can I put it another way?
I'm one with the Father.
I'm so one with the Father that in my renewed mind, I can say this. If you have seen me, you have seen my Father also. If you have seen me, you have seen my elder brother also. If you've seen me, you recognize that it is the Holy Spirit that's at work in me to will and to do of all of my Father's good pleasure. Go ahead, daughter.
Number two.
Times of refreshing. Is a time of seeing the seed
within us
germinate
and rise to its full potential.
There are God-given gifts
and
God-given talents that have been placed on the inside of each and every member of the body of Christ.
God has sown,
notice that, God is a sower. God has sown his seeds of promise
and
his seeds of revelation
into our
spirits.
All
of these things
that
God has planted
into our
spirits,
they
begin to be quickened
and
they start to germinate.
It starts to
bring forth
into
its full potential.
And
it springs out
of
its
seed coat.
We start to see the hidden
life.
We start to see
the
manifestation of
the hidden life
and the anointing
of what God has placed within us.
Of what God has placed
in us through
these seeds.
The seed starts to put deep roots
into us.
It starts to lay hold.
Of our hearts
with a greater grip of conviction
and zeal.
We are challenged
and we are motivated
by its life source.
What life source?
The seed.
Yes, sir.
All life
is in the seed.
Yes, sir.
You listening?
Yes, sir.
And we live in the seed kingdom.
Yes,
go ahead, daughter.
Our gifts begin to excel.
Our talents become more anointed
and our hope soars
with a promise of greater ministry
and breakthrough.
The grain speeds up into harvest
as it gets quickened
by the latter rain
and it matures into God's fullness.
During the times of refreshing,
those seeds that have already been planted
within us
see a maturing
and a quickening
into harvest.
Number three,
the times of refreshing
is also a time
of yielding to the presence of God.
It is during these times of refreshing
that God teaches us
to communicate wisely
with his presence
as he manifests himself
in a more tangible way
to us.
We also learn to understand
God's inner workings
within our spirits
and his ways among us.
The Holy Spirit
woos us
into an intimacy of relationship
and teaches us the ways,
purposes,
plans,
and pursuits
of our Father.
He shows us how and why.
He moves in a certain way.
During these times of refreshing,
the Holy Spirit teaches us
how to commune with God.
He trains our spirits
to become more responsive
and yielded to him.
The Holy Spirit trains our spirit.
The Holy Spirit trains our spirit
to hear God's voice.
To hear God's voice.
And bear witness.
And to bear witness
within our hearts,
that we are being raised up
as his sons.
As God's sons.
During the times of refreshing,
many things are caught
in the spirit,
and not so much
as being taught.
That's a very important statement. We're in a day now that you have to catch things. It's only so many things you could teach. It's best to catch than to be taught. You listening? Get caught up by the Spirit, get caught up in the Spirit so you can learn the ways of the Spirit.
Yes,
go ahead.
We receive
a whole new realm
of spirit education.
The realm of the spirit world
becomes more meaningful to us.
The Holy Spirit
causes us to break through
into a spirit consciousness
that allows us access
into this dimension, which is in the realm of the spirit.
Number four,
the times of refreshing
is a time of
us yielding to one another
in true relationship
and in true fellowship,
understanding that we are each members of the one and self-same body.
Amen. The only way for the body of Christ to be destroyed,
are you listening,
yes, or hindered,
you listening,
is that we bite and devour one another.
Thank you for your enthusiasm.
You listening?
We have enough of that without.
We don't need it within.
Amen.
Go ahead, daughter.
During these times of refreshing,
our love for God
is deeply enlarged.
Our hearts are broken.
And our hearts are contrite before him.
Also our love for one another.
Takes up on what?
A stronger bond.
You know what Jesus said?
Huh?
He not only said greater love had no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends.
You listening?
You listening?
But Jesus said, by this shall all men know you are my disciples
when you have love
one for another.
You listening?
The greatest amongst you is always the servant of all.
You know, we don't need self-exaltation.
We need servanthood.
Amen.
Go ahead, daughter.
The man who has been cleansed
on the inside
and is at peace with himself
is ready for meaningful relationship
on the human level.
Unity cannot be achieved
by human endeavors
that often try
to bring unwholesome men
to relate with each other.
Unless the Lord does his inner work
within us
and loves us
to wholeness,
we will always struggle
in human relationships.
You will project up on someone else
your own insufficiencies
and insecurities
and inadequacies.
You listening?
You'll find yourself projecting your faults
on another.
Are you listening?
Yes,
go ahead.
Human relationships
are only meaningful
when we have the third cord.
You know what the scriptures say about a third cord?
A trifold cord is not easily broken.
You understand?
Father, Son,
and Holy Ghost.
Go ahead.
God is restoring
true meaningful fellowship
true, meaningful fellowship during these times of refreshing. Our love and our affection for one another will increase greatly. Our care and our concern for each other signifies a new era of human interpersonal relationships to the world.
B.
The times of refreshing reveals unto us the tares. The times of refreshing is also a time when the weeds and the tares germinate and they rise up together into harvest.
The times of refreshing
causes the tares to grow up
alongside
the wheat. They look just alike. They blend so well, it takes discernment to know the difference between the two. You have to be careful. Jesus said, you don't pull up the tares because then you're going to pull up the wheat. Mm-hmm. See, some of y'all don't like that. You won't get rid of everybody who not with you. They got to grow up together.
Yes, sir.
They get weeded out at the end. Maturity.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
The wheat and the tares
grow up into harvest together. Number one,
discovering where the tares are.
Discovering where the what? Tares are.
This is the most difficult part.
This is the most difficult part
of the times of refreshing.
We start to discover
that an enemy has sown seed
into our field.
The seeds of the enemy
are sown into three aspects
of our lives.
A,
sin habit.
The sin habit. Or number one, the sin habit. Number two, your subconscious mind. And three, your conscious mind.
Sin habits.
Sin habits.
Though we are born again.
And our spirits have been recreated
in the image and in the likeness of God.
The sin habits still exist
in our body and soul.
In our bodies and soul. I would like to say in our soul and body. You got to work from inside out because the body will only do what the mind let it. Go ahead.
The sin nature
has been removed from our spirits, but our soul and our bodies still retains its likes and its dislikes
within it.
The seeds of the enemy
are still there.
Unless we destroy
the wrong lifestyle
and start walking in the newness of life,
these sin habits
will not be broken. Here's something. God won't break them for you. Ain't no sense. God ain't doing nothing other than what he's already done. You listening? God said, I've renewed you. Now I need you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I need you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The end of your salvation, you listening? Or rather the end of your faith is the salvation of your soul. The scriptures teach us, James 1, you read it when you get a chance. It says, receive with meekness. Receive with meekness. Here comes the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. You listening? So much of the training we've received outside of apostolic government and training under the pastoral model, you listening? We dealt with the spirit, which was already born again, which is already sealed. In the apostolic, we're getting minds right.
Amen.
You listening?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
The subconscious mind. Our subconscious mind
retains and remembers every word, every emotion, and every concept that has impacted our lives since we got here.
Whether it is good or bad.
Rather good or bad. That's why sometimes you find yourself deja vu.
Yeah.
I thought I'd been this way before. Go ahead.
It stores them in the memory bank.
It stores them in the what? Memory bank, and causes us, it becomes a trigger for us to act in a certain way, especially when somebody then offended us. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, you trying to act like it's all right, but every time you get around that person, you get that little rumbling in your belly. It's not them, it's you. Forgiveness is not for them, it's for you. But you know how many of you say you're forgiving somebody, and you know you're lying to yourself because you're not treating them right. Oh, let's get off of that, Reverend. You're in class. Go ahead.
This information
of the past
affects the present decisions
and the future destiny.
The enemy can sow wrong thoughts.
The enemy can sow wrong thoughts. Watch this, which are wrong seeds into our minds. Because thoughts or words are seeds. You got it? Thoughts are words, and thoughts are seeds. Go ahead, finish your statement.
The enemy can sow wrong thoughts
into our minds through any of these circumstances,
and thereby control
our behavioral patterns through these what?
Strongholds.
What is a stronghold? A series of thoughts that occupies your thought life. You listening? That's like a fortress. You listening? It's walled you in and walled God out. That's why the scriptures teach us what? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of the Christ. You listening? And then it makes a statement that we rarely hear in the church. Bringing every thought into obedience. Oh, Jesus, now that's work. Because I have 70,000 thoughts per day. 56,000 of them is getting through the TSA checkpoint. You'll figure that one out later. Call me, I'll tell you. Go ahead.
A stronghold
is a mindset
impregnated with hopelessness
that causes the believer
to accept as unchangeable
something which he knows
is contrary to the will
and purpose and plans of God. Strongholds are fortified places
of Satan
that he uses to exalt himself
against the knowledge of God.
In other words, anything he tell you is impossible, it's a lie. Because the scriptures teach, for with God, nothing shall be impossible to us. Go ahead.
Satan builds these strongholds.
To influence our thought patterns,
our behavioral patterns,
our character,
and our lifestyles.
These seeds
that are planted
into our subconscious minds
can destroy our lives,
and hinder us
from pursuing God's plans
and purposes
for our lives.
The conscious mind. Now, let me make this statement. It is important to know that you're not destroyed from without. The enemy is within. When God talked about possessing the land of Canaan, he talked about getting all them ites out. You know, he wasn't talking about a physical land. He was talking about you and me. In order for him to fully possess us, we have to do something with our souls. Those ites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Amalekites, all that's in your head, that's got to be subdued and conquered through the uncompromising word of God. Go ahead, daughter.
The conscious mind.
The enemy wants to sow seeds presently into our minds. These new seeds desire to penetrate our minds today. These present thoughts that enter into our conscious mind can trigger a change. Can trigger a chain of negative
or positive thought
patterns
from our subconscious mind.
That come from our subconscious mind.
The accumulated impact
of these thought patterns
will be more than just
the innocent incidents
that have taken place.
See
how to consciously deal
with the tares.
We need to know
whether the tares are already inside
our subconscious mind
or whether they are trying to enter via our conscious mind.
When we are dealing with the present attacks
through our conscious mind,
we need to be fully equipped
with a renewed mind
to stop any advances
of the enemy.
This is like
preventing the bee
from attacking
or stinging the fruit.
Important. This is a military operation.
That's why in the military you got to be trained.
The first thing they do is strip you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to strip you.
But you don't want to be stripped.
You act like you're still in the ghetto.
That's okay. Let's keep going.
The sting of the bee
destroys the outer layer
of the skin
of the fruit.
Causing eventual decay.
Which opens up room
for the worms
to develop in the fruit.
Thus in dealing with these outside attacks
via the conscious mind
we are dealing with the
bee.
But at other times
we're dealing with tares
and seeds
that are within the subconscious mind
of a person.
It is like dealing with the worms
which are already inside of the fruit.
These worms
are working from the inside of the fruit.
And the decaying process has already begun
within.
The bee that stung the fruit
is long gone.
But the decay that is caused by the sting
has bred worms
that is now attacking the fruit
from within.
Thus we need to know
how to deal with the bee
that is the present attack
that is coming from the outside
through the conscious mind
and learn to deal with the worm
that is an eternal attack
internal attack
coming from seeds
that's now embedded in the subconscious mind
D.
How to deal with the bee?
Number one.
We need to avoid places
where temptations are
prevalent.
You need to avoid places
where temptations are what?
Prevalent.
Now, nobody know that but you.
The scripture say,
no man knoweth a man
save the spirit of man
that's within him.
We only know of you
what you revealed to us.
Or we only know of you
what the Holy Spirit reveals to us.
Other than that,
you can conceal who you really are.
Go ahead.
Number two.
We need to take extra precaution
in the areas
where we are commonly tempted.
And man falls.
Number three.
We need to develop a healthy
thought pattern
about the
areas
where we are
what? Commonly tempted.
Number four.
We need to deal with religious attitudes
that we may have
about those areas of what? Temptation.
Number five.
We need to deal wisely
with negative words
that are spoken to us, oh Lord, on a daily basis, every day.
Number six.
We need to respond rightly
to circumstances
and to situations
that are in our lives.
E.
How to deal with the worms.
Number one.
We need to repent,
asking God for forgiveness,
and for allowing those seeds,
and for us allowing those seeds
to be embedded in our subconscious mind.
Number two.
We need to
renew our minds
in those affected areas
of our lives.
Number three.
We need to survey the extent
or measure
of the damage that's been done to the fruit.
Is the seed preoccupying my thoughts? Are my emotions taking a toll?
Are my emotions, which are tied to those thoughts, taking a toll on me?
Is my conversation
often reverting
to the incidents of these seeds,
because the seed is the one that caused them to get there. Go ahead.
Am I thinking
of any physical actions
to carry out these obsessive thoughts?
Is my willpower crumbling in?
Refusing to resist.
These emotional passion. Notice this phrase. Take over. Go ahead.
Who should we turn to to get some help?
There is help.
Yes, sir.
But who do I turn to?
One.
Who can I share this with? Go ahead.
We should choose someone.
Who is number one, trustworthy. Please don't tell Sister Big Mouth. Please. And please don't tell Mr. Big Mouth. Are you listening? Thank you for your enthusiasm. You done went told somebody some stuff. It done got out. Now you mad. You shouldn't have told them. Because they always gonna say, I got a secret. Don't tell nobody else. You listening? Once they told that person, they gonna go tell the next person. I got a secret. Don't tell nobody else. You listening?
Yes,
and in this day of technology, there are no secrets. Cameras everywhere. Okay. You get the picture. Go ahead.
Choose someone who's trustworthy. Who can be entrusted.
With classified information.
About your life.
In other words, this is classified. It can destroy you with people. God don't like busybodies. God don't like folk who go around sowing discord amongst the brethren. Go ahead.
Choose someone who does not have a problem
in the area of our temptation.
Find someone
who has very high standards
in this area of need.
Choose someone
who's in leadership
and have a proper covering
over his or her life.
Yes,
Choose someone
who can give us consistent help
until we are fully delivered
and have overcome this need.
We need someone
who operates
in the discerning of spirits.
And we need someone,
possibly
in our own local church. Now, please make sure you go over chapter 12 and chapter 13, the times of, well, actually, make sure you read all of this. I might put something on the quiz you didn't read that I didn't cover in the class to make sure you read the chapter. Just one statement. Okay. Enjoy your evening. See y'all next time.